Joined by Nicole Carmer from the Dictionary of Sydney. Good morning.
Good morning.
How the hell are you?
Really good, actually.
That's good to hear.
A bit cold, but...
Oh, it is a bit nippy, yes. And this studio is you know, sub-Arctic.
That's
my big
fine.
Puffer jacket on. So, Nicole, what are we talking about this week? What are we wading into?
Well, I'm sure viewers, listeners, would remember a few years ago there was that Underbelly Razor TV series.
Was that Tilly Devine?
Tilly Devine and Kate Lee. But
everyone
think everyone remembers Tilly Devine because she has such an amazing name.
You know,
like, what a name. But Kate Lee was also another kind of prominent underworld figure in Sydney during the 1920s and 1930s.
Right, okay.
And so the Dictionary of Sydney recently published a kind of range of new articles. And one of them is by Katie Gilchrist, who's a very kind of... has a lot of contributions for the Dictionary of Sydney, and one of them was about Kate Lee, and I was like, oh, she's so fascinating, such a fascinating character, and I think it's been a long time coming. But so Kate Lee was actually born Kathleen Mary Josephine Behan. And that was, that was in Dubbo on the 10th of March 1881. So, and as a child, she was often, you know, running away from home. And at the age of 12, she was actually sent to Parramatta Industrial School for Girls. So she was in trouble.
She was a bad girl to start with.
She was. And after being released at the age of 16, she went to kind of Glebe and Surry Hills area in Sydney and worked in factories and shops and things like that. And in 1901, she was arrested for vagrancy and she received 14 days hard labour in jail. And that was really the first of many stretches in Long Bay Jail.
What is vagrancy?
So she was, you know, on the streets kind of causing trouble, often just...
She was a rabble-rouser.
Yeah, and often also she was charged with abusive language, things like that.
I totally empathise.
There's a lot of that around today.
Now, when
she was 21, she married Jack Lee, and that's L-double-E, and he was a part Chinese criminal and illegal bookmaker.
Wow, so back in the day, that would have been quite the thing, marrying a part Chinese,
foreign. For sure. And, I think that's where she gets her name from, Lee. So
yes.
She actually anglicised the name from L-double-E to L. E-I-G-H.
Ah.
So that's where it comes from.
Yeah,
so it wasn't actually her name to begin with, but the couple divorced in 1922, so it wasn't a kind of long-lasting...
So an even bigger scandal. She goes and marries a half-Australian...
And then divorces within a year. Yeah.
In the 20s?
Yeah, nice. Well, and that was actually the first of, many lovers that she had that in the criminal world. And, she was in trouble with the law again in 1913 for abusive language. And keeping a brothel as well.
Right. See, the abusive language I can understand. I can empathise. I think I've been there before. The brothel keeping, not so much.
No. And in March 1915, she was also convicted of perjury. And what she'd done was she swore in court for being with one of the perpetrators of the Everleigh Railway Workshop robbery.
Right.
Which was a famous incident in June 1914. And it was actually the first time a getaway car was used in a crime in Australia.
You'd have to wind it up.
Just a little bit of trivia.
To start with.
yeah. And so she alleged that she was with her lover Samuel, and his nickname was Dewey Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that she was with him when actually he was committing that crime, and he received a 10-year sentence, and she ended up receiving a 4 or 5 year sentence in Long Bay Jail. But I think she served 4 years in the end.
Right.
And so it wasn't until her release in 1919 that she really became engaged in those, I suppose, criminal activities that she became famous for. And that's where she earned the nickname the Sly Grog Queen.
We don't do nicknames like we used to.
No.
Like, as bad as it sounds, I'd love to be the Sly Grog King.
Whatever that is.
Sounds great.
But I think Sly Grog... It's certainly not a term we kind of use, I suppose bootlegging or would be similar, but Sly Grog was really a term used for kind of the illegal kind of selling of alcohol.
So why did we have Sly? Because as I understand, we didn't have prohibition here,
No,
did
we didn't.
So why did we have Sly Grog?
So you may remember a couple of weeks back, Lisa Murray, my fellow guest historian, spoke about the 6 o'clock closing time.
Of course, yes.
So that was introduced in 1916, and Kate Lee really took advantage of that legislation and decided to start, selling grog outside of the designated trading hours.
Right.
And she made a fortune.
What would Casino Mike have to say about that?
Yeah. And 6 o'clock is quite early,
yeah,
to be fair. And so for, I think it was about 35 years, she earned quite a bit of money on that trade. But she also dealt in cocaine and prostitution and things like that. And opium was another one. So she, you know, she became one of Sydney's leading underworld figures, and she ran more than 20 sly groggeries in Sydney, in the Surrey Hills and East Sydney area.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Yeah, that's great. Look, if you just joined us, I'm here with Nicole Karma from the Dictionary of Sydney. It's that part of the week where we delve back into Sydney's history, and today we're talking about Kate Lee.
The Sly Grog Queen,
colleague, I suppose you could say, of Tilly Devine.
And also was also at one point labelled the worst woman in Sydney because she also had
the Daily
her own
Telegraph.
Gang.
Oh, really? See, nowadays the Daily Telegraph would say that's Clover Moore, but
yeah. I think there's a lot of people who would earn that those kind of nicknames these days.
So certainly
there was a reason why she was called that.
Yeah, and she ran her own gang.
Yeah, and so she had her own kind of her group of standover men, which were men who basically kind of kept, I suppose, things in check for the criminal business in a very kind of violent way. Mm. And, you know, her product was actually considered good quality. She the alcohol that she produced wasn't just your average kind of moonshine type.
Bathtub gin.
Yeah, yeah. And some of her establishments were actually frequented by politicians and prominent businessmen.
Right.
And they affectionately, some of them called them mums. So they'd say, oh, I'm up to mums.
Which is interesting.
Interesting, you know, looking at this culture, obviously, that thrived because of the 6 o'clock closing. And so, you know, in after kind of dealing in stolen goods and cocaine and opium and prostitution, there was actually began kind of almost complete constant surveillance on her main property, which was on Riley Street in Surrey Hills.
I know, yeah.
And you know, as a result of that, she was having a lot of trouble trying to kind of manage her business. But also, you know, there were rival gangs, and that's where Tilly Devine comes in,
who was
a kind of major rival of hers during the 1920s and up till about 1936. And they actually got into full kind of blown fights on the streets, and along with the gangs as well.
It's crazy to think, you know, that this is way back, you know, the 20s, 30s, and you have these two gangs run by women.
Women. It's almost like this tiny pocket of time that hasn't really been repeated to my knowledge. Mm. And it's a really interesting thing to look at and analyse, I think. And, you know, it was that time that it gave rise to the razor wars, the term the razor wars, because these gangs used razors and knives and things like that to basically inflict violence. Yeah. And, you know, the government really was really concerned with what they called the terror on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So they introduced the New South Wales Vagrancy Amendment Act in 1929. And there was a clause in that about consorting with known criminals and prostitutes. And because of that, Kate Lee's business really started to suffer.
Right.
But that suited Tilly Devine because she ran a lot of underground kind of brothels and things
like that. Right, okay. So not in such in plain sight.
Yeah, that's right. And I think she still had some in plain sight, but somehow Tilly flourished and Kate Lee was going through some trouble.
Right.
And it wasn't until 1936 that they actually came to a truce, because I think they realised in the end that the violence was probably hurting their business more than it was helping them.
Yes.
So it was really a kind of money kind of motivation in the end. And in 1930, she pleaded not guilty to the murder of John Snowy Pendergrast, who was a fellow underworld figure. And she claimed that, and the jury actually acquitted her because she claimed that she was defending her life and her property.
Okay.
So she was actually, so even though she spent a lot of kind of stints in jail, she also, there were moments where she, I suppose, got away with murder, maybe, so to speak. And, you know, she was very clever in the courtroom, and she became very famous for her courtroom antics. And like, she would do things like start knitting in the courtroom, she'd be doing that in the middle of the proceedings.
Yeah. Oh, look how innocent she is.
She's knitting. Crotcheting. She's a little grandmother. And it wasn't until the 1940s and 1950s that her violent reputation, I suppose, eased, because she became known as a real kind of prominent local identity, but also she was considered a philanthropist, and she helped the local children out, and she kind of said, don't, you know, join a life of crime like me. And, and also apparently she would pay the court fees of people from the area, because I suppose the Surry Hills area was still considered like a slum area.
Yes.
And so she decided to kind of help out the local community.
Right, okay.
And so by the time, so she died in February 1964, she was 82 years old, she had a stroke. And, you know, during her life, she had 107 criminal convictions and served 13 jail terms. But over 700 people attended her funeral, including members of the police force, politicians. And so people towards the end of her life, I think, decided to move on from that.
That is funny, though, isn't it? How, you know, as things, you know, disappear from memory, from immediate memory.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
we kind of
we kind of forget, and, you know, 700 people, you know, that's a hell of a turnout.
That's a lot of people. And actually, Dr. Lisa Murray is going to be interviewing Lee Straw, who's an author and novelist who just released a book about Kate Lee.
Wonderful.
And that's going to be on the 2nd of July at Dimmicks on George Street. So
do
check it out. So it's like, you know, literally next week, and we're talking about Kate Lee.
There you go. Well, look, it does sound fascinating. If people want to find out more about, you know, Kate Lee, or just generally the wonderful stories you do at Dictionary of Sydney, how can they do it?
Dictionarysydney.org.